You're listening to the Functional Nurse Podcast, and on this episode, we explore how imposter syndrome can impact your nursing practice. So stay tuned. Hello, nurses, and welcome to this episode of the Functional Nurse Podcast. My name is Bridget Sager, and I'm your host. I am a functional medicine nurse practitioner, and I teach functional medicine to nurses and nurse practitioners through the Integrative Nurse Coach Academy in partnership with the Institute for Functional Medicine. And our topic today is imposter syndrome. This is something that I feel like nurses really struggle with throughout their career, and it comes up often when talking about incorporating holistic practices that might be outside the realm of allopathic care even more than I think it does as our standard nursing practice. I wanted to start by kind of defining what is imposter syndrome. I listened to some other podcasts and did a little research on the topic before recording this because we talk about imposter syndrome in the course I teach in almost every Zoom meeting that we have. It's a really common phenomenon for nurses and nurse practitioners in general. The idea of imposter syndrome is feeling like maybe you're not ready yet or you're not enough to offer what you are hoping to offer in the future to your patients. And I would take that a step further and say other nurses and students, because we're going to talk about different roles where we encounter imposter syndrome, and it isn't just when we're taking care of patients. So I was trying to think of various situations where nurses encounter imposter syndrome, and I asked ChatGPT to come up with some for me, and it's funny because it was exactly ones that I've experienced myself. Some of the most common experiences I think that most nurses can relate to for imposter syndrome include when we are brand new in nursing school and go to clinicals for the first time and are allowed to take care of a patient. We can feel like maybe we aren't enough to, or we don't know enough to take care of somebody in that role. When we graduate nursing school, maybe we do get lucky enough to have a preceptorship where somebody kind of holds our hand through several or many shifts. And then we're on our own for the first time. That can be a time where we really experience imposter syndrome as nurses. Also, when we transition, maybe from that unit that we worked on or floor in a hospital, we transition to a new setting. Maybe we have worked in a long-term care facility or clinic and we're transitioning to the hospital. Anywhere where we're switching specialties, we can experience imposter syndrome because we are going from maybe expert in one area of nursing to becoming a novice again in a different area of nursing. Another time that it is common to experience imposter syndrome in nursing is when we take on a leadership role, and that may be in an informal way as a leader on our unit. It can also, one that I feel like I've talked to a lot of nursing students about, is delegating. So as a new nurse, delegating to the support staff on your unit or to other members of your team can be an intimidating process and something that really has to be overcome for a new nurse to be able to manage their time well, because we can't do everything for our patients. We really do need to count on a team. So delegating is an important skill that imposter syndrome can really impact. I think most of us can relate to that. And then more formal, like as a charge nurse, and then even more so if we step into leadership roles for our unit or for the facility that we work at. Advanced practice nurses experience that all over again in our clinical experience during school, when we're seeing maybe patients in the clinic alone and then coming back and reporting to our preceptor about how that experience went and what we think maybe the care plan should be, and then getting their feedback and maybe going in together to collaborate with the patient. So that's a first time that maybe we don't feel like we're enough. And then graduating from an advanced practice program and beginning to care for patients on your own can be a time of imposter syndrome for many advanced practice nurses as well. Another one that I don't think it is acknowledged enough is as an educator. And so when nurses transition from maybe practicing in a hospital or clinic setting, and they begin to maybe work as adjunct faculty or take a full-time position in an academic setting, there is nothing that prepares you for that. Similar to the idea of being an entrepreneur or owning your own business as a nurse. Nursing school does not prepare you to be an educator. There is not much that we're taught in how to educate in a formal way to educate other nurses. Of course, we practice the skill of teaching our patients all the time. And so I think we learn to speak with confidence and speak clearly and to use language that people can understand what we're trying to say in a clear way. But I don't think that there is much that prepares you for becoming an educator prior to your first day as a nursing educator. So for me personally, I've experienced the imposter syndrome so many times. I thought I'd share some of those with you because I think that they're probably ones that many of you have experienced as well. I initially took a nurse tech job at a hospital while I was in nursing school. And that, if you're not familiar with it, is essentially you're halfway through nursing school, and they say, you know, you can function basically as a CNA or a certified nursing assistant on a hospital unit. And then you can do that until graduation. And that is something that here in Washington State, you're able to do during nursing school. And so I took that position, but had had no prior experience as a CNA. I had been a veterinary technician for a long time. So I was comfortable with medical jargon and medications and many things I was experiencing in nursing school, but not caring for patients. And the CNAs on the unit I worked on were wonderful. And they took me under their wing and taught me how to care for people. But I would say that that maybe was more of a learning experience for me than actually graduating and becoming a nurse, because I had never really performed any role like that in the past. And I had just barely begun clinicals in nursing school at that point. So I did not feel like I was qualified to do that. And it was very intimidating for me. Graduating, I was lucky to get a practicum that was quite extensive, but I absolutely remember being a new nurse on my unit and feeling like my patients would be better served by someone with more experience. And there were periods where I realized that that isn't necessarily the case. And there is some value in being fresh out of school and having fresh eyes. So I will say that there's something to be said for new nurses and their perspective and their recent experience in the academic world. It wasn't too long after becoming a nurse that I was asked to perform the role of charge nurse. And that was an incredibly intimidating time for me. And I definitely suffered from imposter syndrome, but I also felt that I lost more sleep in that role, thinking about what I could have done during my shift than I ever did as a floor nurse, because I felt such a sense of responsibility for my peers. And you may know, if you've ever practiced in the role of a charge nurse, you can't help everybody and you can't always follow through on everything that you hope to help people with. So that was a challenging one for me. I was mostly in the role of like a critical care float through the hospital. I worked on a lot of different units. And so anytime I went to a new floor, I didn't feel like I should be allowed there, including obviously like the ICU. Sometimes I would go help in the ER, but that was pretty rare. But the oncology unit really intimidated me because I didn't feel like I knew enough to take care of people on that floor. It took me a long time to be comfortable with the fact that I wasn't there to treat their cancer. I was there to manage their symptoms while somebody else did that work. In nurse practitioner school, like I mentioned, I think feeling like you don't know enough is a common theme throughout nursing. And in nurse practitioner school, I absolutely didn't feel like I knew enough to be allowed to come up with a care plan for my patients. And I didn't have a real big support system once I graduated. I was on my own immediately, mostly from, I've mentioned, like corporate buyout and like I think best intentions, but I was mostly on my own. And I got really savvy at finding answers in respected resources because that was kind of the situation. But I definitely felt like I wanted to give my patients the best care, of course, but I really struggled with the fact that they could be seeing somebody up the road that had, you know, 10, 20 years of experience in primary care. And here I am, fresh out of school on my own without a lot of a safety net at the time. That was a time that I had significant imposter syndrome, and it really impacted, you know, my personal health because of the stress at the time. After that, I was learning functional medicine and nurse coaching, and those are two times where I have experienced imposter syndrome as well. I think the take-home message that I try to convey to my students when we talk about imposter syndrome is, how many times have you taken the time to explain something to a patient, or listen, or take a close look at their lab work and make some connections for them? And they'll respond with, wow, no one's really listened to that before, or nobody's ever looked that closely at my lab work or explained it that way. That really makes sense to me. I think that happens a lot in our careers, that we get that response from somebody when we spend a little extra time with them. And sometimes we're limited in our ability to do that. But for me, that has always reinforced that I'm on the right track. It's really common, I think, in functional medicine and in most areas of nursing, for us to feel like we could learn more before we offer anything. I think a lot of my students feel like they're in allopathic medicine until the day that they feel confident enough to fully practice functional medicine. And in reality, it's a really gray area and a spectrum. And a lot of my students ultimately will incorporate some functional medicine into their current practice. And so they're already an expert in their field, and now they're going to fold in some more holistic guidance for their patients, focus on educating a bit more than they did in the past, maybe. But other students that I have had will go on to have a full functional medicine practice of their own, where maybe they offer some nurse coaching and functional medicine combined. And they are really stepping out of their comfort zone by, you know, taking the step to become a business owner. Maybe they're an entrepreneur for the first time, and leaving behind the security of their role, and also not having like somebody over you to, you know, tell you what the protocols are for this facility and here's how we do things here. And rather, the buck stops with you, and you need to have the answers. That can be so intimidating. And I think that what I try to encourage my students to recognize is that you already know more as a nurse than your average patient does. You are already capable of educating them, making connections for them, advocating for them, coaching them if you're a nurse coach. And that, just that activity of like being a provider that is able to take the time and teach somebody and make some connections for them that might help them make changes they weren't otherwise going to make, like maybe about their food or stress or something in their life that you've identified might be contributing to their health concern, that has a major impact in their life. And they weren't ever going to maybe get there on their own, or maybe further down the line. So I think that nurses really undervalue the knowledge that we already have as nurses in the first place. And then when you add in just really foundational functional medicine practice, you can make a major change in somebody's health story by sharing what you know. And as nurses, I think, you know, it's important for us to recognize that when we're not sharing what we know, when we're not overcoming our imposter syndrome, it's actually a disservice to our patients, because we're withholding something that they could really benefit from. When I transitioned to becoming an educator, and I was teaching nursing students, and then when I was writing the functional medicine course, and now I'm struggling with imposter syndrome again, writing the nutrition for nurses course, I wasn't sure if what I was going to be offering was going to be enough again. And I really struggled with imposter syndrome each of those times also. And each time I started teaching a new course to nursing students in the past, I felt that way. And then I get feedback on the courses that I've taught, and I realize that there's value in what I'm teaching and how I teach it. And I've put a lot of effort into going above and beyond what we talked about, how we don't get taught how to teach other nurses when we're in nursing school. I've sought out opportunities to learn more about how to be a quality educator and to teach in a way that is approachable for the largest number of people. there's definitely the idea that we need to learn more before we can offer what we know. And that's something that you really have to evaluate for yourself. For me, I feel like I have recognized times where I really do need to know more before I share what I'm learning. But also that I try to remember the value in what I have already offered to patients for many years now. And I've had the informal role of teaching and being a mentor and preceptor in healthcare settings for my whole career. So I think we undervalue the times that maybe we've done things in a more informal way in the past. I'm sure as a nurse, you have absolutely educated your patients on holistic alternatives to something that maybe they're hesitant to step into that's been a recommendation from their provider. Or, you know, a lot of the time when I worked in the hospital setting, people were resistant to starting a new medication, or they just were absolutely not going to. And so it was an opportunity for me to say, okay, if you're not going to do this, let's talk about some holistic things that we could do to address your concern instead. I think we've all done that and done a lot of teaching that we undervalue and don't realize is truly functional medicine. And so that's an opportunity for us to kind of reflect too on the fact that we've been doing this for a long time. We just didn't label it functional medicine maybe. When we look at the impact that imposter syndrome has on nursing, we look at the impact it has on our own mental health as a nurse and our job performance, potentially our potential to step into a role that there's a need for. In the case of a nurse practitioner, for example, not feeling confident enough to open your own practice in a rural setting where there's a huge need for that, is denying access to care. And so overcoming imposter syndrome is really something that I think we can approach from like a responsibility that we really need to do this for ourselves and for our patients and for access to healthcare. It limits our ability to advance healthcare. So when we learn functional medicine, we learn about the potential to heal health concerns and to undo a lot of health concerns. We can certainly improve symptoms for many people, but we can also heal people with functional medicine and get people off of medications and undiagnosed, which is really thrilling. But we can't do that if we don't step into that role. We can't help transform healthcare into something that is more holistic and restorative for our patients if we aren't sharing what we're learning. Some of the things I think can be most effective for overcoming imposter syndrome includes seeking out peers that you can commiserate with about your experience, realizing that other people feel the same way you do. In the course I teach, we have Zoom meetings regularly, and it often nurses will reflect back to me in a message afterwards that it was so empowering for them to hear other nurses feel as intimidated as they do with what they're learning and trying to incorporate it into their practice. And I think knowing that the confidence grows over time is really helpful. Knowing that other nurses feel the same way you do can be really helpful. So I think finding peers that are on a similar journey to you can help. One way to do that is like I have a functional medicine group that's just for graduates of my course, but I also have a functional medicine group on Facebook called Functional Medicine for RNs and NPs. And it's only for licensed nursing professionals. And that, I think, is a great place to connect with other nurses and nurse practitioners that are probably experiencing a lot of the same feelings that you may be about offering what you're learning. We can also seek out mentorship. So maybe somebody in your community that is providing holistic practice may be willing to mentor you, and you can have that connection in a local sense, which is so valuable. I always encourage my students to reach out in their community to other holistic practitioners. It may not be nursing professionals, but other healthcare practitioners who align with them, and they can collaborate and commiserate and also eventually offer referrals to one another. We also need to recognize the power of our own self-talk. Most of what we believe is the reality of the world is what we tell ourselves about it. And when we tell ourselves that we're not enough and that we're not ready yet, and maybe next week after I read three more books or whatever your journey might be to getting to where you feel comfortable offering a service, Recognize that you are talking yourself in or out of things and believing in yourself. And we talk in functional medicine about how self-talk can be considered a toxin, that it's something that can have a negative impact on our health. And that applies to imposter syndrome too. We are telling ourselves whether we're ready or not, and whether there's value in what we have to offer or not. To take that a step further, a lot of nurses benefit from daily practices like affirmations, a reflective practice or journaling, and they can really work through some of their imposter syndrome. Having a phone call with your best friend about your imposter syndrome or a nurse friend, I think, can be really helpful. I have had so many students now talk about their imposter syndrome, and students come back and share their experience with the first time that they had that connection, something in a patient's story during a visit, maybe at a clinic, and they recognize what the root cause might be and provide some education, and a light bulb goes off for them and maybe also for the patient. I feel like those type of success stories, seeing that what you're learning is really going to connect for you with real live patients, is so meaningful and can really help with imposter syndrome. Using what you're learning, I always use the example with my students of going to nursing school, learning functional medicine. The course that I teach in particular is laid out very similarly to nursing school, in that you will leave nursing school ready to go to a hospital setting and do a preceptorship, or go to a cardiology clinic and learn a deep dive on that topic and offer that. You will leave nursing school ready to be a novice as a nurse and to start using what you learned and seeing patterns in patients. And my example I always use is a patient with pneumonia. You can learn in school what that might sound like and look like and what best practice is, but until you've taken care of 1, 5, and 10 patients with pneumonia, you don't grow in confidence to the place where you're able to walk in to work, see that you have a patient with a diagnosis of pneumonia, and feel really confident that you don't need to dig through some books that you might have in your locker on what you're going to offer this person, but rather you have a pretty standard care plan at that point. Learning functional medicine is really similar. My students, I tell them, when you leave this, you're going to understand the foundations of functional medicine in a really solid way, but you need to use it on people and apply it and have those people come back and tell you what their experience was applying what you've taught them. So if you have somebody doing an elimination diet and you've done one yourself, you can teach them about it and what that experience might be. But until you've had a couple people come back and tell you how amazing they feel afterwards or what their challenges are, and you've helped them troubleshoot those, you can really struggle with imposter syndrome. And I think using what you're learning on real people can help you build confidence. I always tell my students, if you can explain to somebody the why behind the education you're providing them, you're ready to use it. So you don't need to use all functional medicine, which I quote unquote, because that would be impossible. You know, we can't get to a place where we know everything, and we never will. We have to accept that and live in this uncomfortable place where functional medicine is using research that's evolving and emerging at a really rapid rate right now. So it's evidence-based, but it's on the crest of that. And so there's always going to be new things unfolding. I love going to conferences and learning something new every year and what the big topics are that research is kind of guiding us in. But that means we're never going to know everything. And you have to get really comfortable in that if you're going to practice functional medicine. You're never going to know everything. But if you can take this one thing that you want to share with a patient today and you can tell them why, then you're on the right track. If you can't explain why it might be the root cause of their health concern or why the intervention might be really helpful for them, maybe you aren't ready yet. And so I think that can be a really great barometer for when to step into what you're learning and offer it to your patients. The last thought that I have along that line of how to address your imposter syndrome is to know that sometimes we do need to learn more and sometimes we know enough. If you are dabbling in functional medicine and you don't feel like you have a solid foundation, like I'm talking about, if you can't explain the why, then that might be a time for you to seek out more education. And so I think a lot of time we get education and we haven't put it into practice yet, and so we feel uncomfortable with it. And we really just need to do some of the steps I've already talked about to grow in confidence using what we already know. But if you don't feel like you are there yet, then maybe you do need to look into learning more. So if you haven't taken my course, for example, you know, that's a great way to build your confidence in having a foundation in functional medicine. For some of my students, they take the course and they really feel good about the knowledge that they've gained, but they don't feel like they're able to get results for people, because a big part of what we experience when we work with people in a holistic way is that it's challenging for people to make healthy changes. And so for me, I had a background in nurse coaching as I was folding functional medicine into my practice. And I can't even gauge like how valuable that was, because it was just pretty natural for me to use by then. But a lot of my students take my course and then they say, okay, I feel like the getting them there, the how part is the challenge. And they'll go on to become a board certified nurse coach. So that's something to consider, is if you feel like something is getting in your way, really reflect on what it is. Is it that you need more knowledge, or you need a different skill first? Or is it really just that you haven't put into practice what you've learned, and so your confidence needs to grow by using what you're learning? Some things that you can do that I think are pretty tangible, like I mentioned, joining Facebook groups, trying to connect with people online. But if you don't already have a social media page that's a business page for you, they're really easy to set up. And I encourage my students when they start the course to start a page and just do did you knows. Just share things you're learning with your audience. And that can really build your confidence. You know, in nursing, we talk about see one, do one, teach one, that you see somebody do a skill, you practice it yourself, and then you teach it to somebody else. And I think that applies also to functional medicine and social media, is if you can take what you're learning and translate it into something that you can teach somebody in a patient visit, on a post, a blog post or a social media post, like on Instagram or Facebook, you can go live and just talk about a topic for a few minutes that you feel strongly about. That is an opportunity to build your confidence too. On a more clinical level, using what you're learning in functional medicine, applying it. I encourage my students to take the forms that IFM and INCA shares with them through the course and plot out the story of their patient's health journey, and maybe do that on themselves as they work their way through the course, or do it on a family member that has struggled with a health concern, and practice telling that story back to that person, or reflecting on your own story, or sharing it with a patient that you've had pretty close contact with for long enough that you feel like you could write out their health story and maybe ask them some more questions next time you see them. Ask them if you can practice sharing their kind of health timeline with them. I think all of that can really help reinforce for us that we do have a significant amount of value in what we have to offer, and that it can have a major impact for our patients by us actually stepping out of our imposter syndrome and into our the role that we're really called to. I have two don'ts before we wrap up. Don't offer your services for free to build confidence. One of the biggest reasons for this is because people are honestly really committed when they have paid money for something and they value it more. And this has been my experience as a nurse coach. When I would coach people for free, I did not feel like they were making the changes that ultimately I saw in people that were paying me for nurse coaching services. The same thing happened when I was practicing functional medicine and offering it for a reduced rate versus full. And many, many, many of my students have told me the same thing, that when they offer things for free, people are not invested. That is not going to help your confidence grow. If you're offering things for free, people aren't invested, they're going to come back and follow up with you and tell you they're not better, and you're not going to feel great about what you're offering. So really honor your role. If you haven't listened to the episode where we talk about knowing your worth as a nurse, respecting the fact that lots of other practitioners charge an hourly rate for their services or charge a fee that pays their bills and more by having a one-on-one consultation fees or packages that they offer. Recognize that people want somebody to partner with that is going to help them heal, and there are people that are ready to do that. please don't offer your services for free. If you want to do a discovery call with somebody and just feel out if they're a good match for you, I think that that works for a lot of my students. I would not reveal what your care plan would be in that visit because you're giving away your knowledge for free. A great way to approach that is to say, at the end of them sharing their concerns, say, wow, I have helped a lot of people with similar concerns, and I feel really confident I can help you. Or something similar, something positive and affirmative. And the truth is, you have helped a lot of people in the past if you've been a nurse. And so really respect that about yourself and your past nursing experience. My other don't before we wrap up is treating your loved ones. That can be really challenging. I talk about that a lot, and it comes up for my students really often is, you know, if we're kind of short of trying to treat family members, they're not always going to tell us everything we need to know to take quality care of them. And we may not see them from the same lens that we would if we were their provider. And so I think obviously incorporating an elimination diet at home and applying that to your own children, doing it with your partner, that is very different from doing a full functional medicine workup on your family member. And so those are two things that I typically say are don'ts in my experience and in having helped hundreds of nurses learn functional medicine. You know, never offer your services for free. And in particularly when you're trying to build confidence in your practice, because those folks aren't going to be as successful in my experience. And don't treat your loved ones if you're trying to gain experience and confidence, because that is going to have a different outcome than a paying client would. So I hope that this is motivating for you to do some work on yourself, to step out of any imposter syndrome that you're experiencing and into the role that you have been called to. And until next time, be well. Thank you for tuning in for this episode of the Functional Nurse Podcast. If you want to help spread the word about the powerful role nurses can play as true healers using functional medicine practices, consider sharing an episode with a nurse friend or on social media. And click the subscribe button to stay informed of newly released episodes. You can also visit and share the links below in the show notes for more information on nursing resources and the Functional Medicine for Nurses course offered through the Integrative Nurse Coach Academy in partnership with the Institute for Functional Medicine.